News Now Warsaw, WRSW, 1480 AM and W259BJ, 99.7 FM, Warsaw, Indiana.
Here we go. You know why to go to R&B Car Company, right? 90 days till your first payment, $3,500 minimum for your trade. And with locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and now Fort Wayne, you need to find out why we are where you ought to be. Because financing available with any kind of credit, we've got banks that cater to everyone, no matter the need, from compacts to big honking diesels, fast and friendly service, and the best deal bottom line. So shop now and get pre-approved at rbcarcompany.com.
This is Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM, 1480 AM, online at newsnowwarsaw.com and at the News Now Warsaw app. Here's your host for Tiger Talk, the radio voice of Tiger Sports, Roger Grossman.
Good morning. How you doing? Feeling okay? Rough night last night for the Warsaw Tigers. They fall at Penn 31-10. Their season comes to an end with a record of 9-2. We'll talk with Coach Curtis about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Penn will play Crown Point in the regional next week. They will host that game. Crown Point beat Lake Central 42-7. Other games, Brad sees Merrillville in 5A. They beat Hammond Morton 42-18. Valparaiso ends Michigan City's season 26-7. Mishawaka held off Concord 20-14. Snyder beat Fort Wayne North 49-14. New Prairie beat Culver Academy 43-14. Northwood beat Northridge 17-14 to avenge a loss from earlier in the season. It was Leo over Dwenger, 31-13. Mississinawa remains unbeaten. They beat Kokomo, 31-24. In other games, Knox beat Glenn, 60-37. LaVille beat Bremen, 28-14. Lewers beat Manchester, 42-0. It was North Judson stunning Triton in Bourbon, 33-7. Again, last night up in Mishawaka, it was Penn over Warsaw, 31-10. We'll play a highlight for you. Talk with Bart Curtis about last night's game. That's coming up next. Here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Our area lakes might be cold and ice could be forming, but now is the time to dream ahead to next year for a great time on the water with help from Splendor Boats. If this past summer you thought about taking your family's summer to the next level, make plans now to see the experts at Splendor. You can buy your pontoon, custom-built catamaran, or boat accessories at Warsaw's only marina on East Winona Avenue, or visit the original Splendor Boats location on State Road 15 in Silver Lake, and online at SplendorBoatsWarsaw.com. Splendor Boats, thanks you for a great year and looks forward to serving you even better in the years ahead.
Invest your money in a bank that invests into the heart of the community where you live and work. Crossroads Bank makes sensible loans to friends and neighbors so that together our communities grow. Visit crossroadsbanking.com or stop in at one of their locations with offices in Columbia City, North Manchester, Peru, South Whitley, Syracuse, Wabash, and Warsaw. Crossroads Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Where your bank and your life meet.
False start, pass interference, offsides.
All bad things in football.
Spotty dishes, rust stains, dry skin and hair.
All bad things when it comes to your water. Rab Water Systems All-Star Team can help eliminate your water penalties. Home of the non-electric Connecticut, which provides clean, clear water 24-7 without electricity. Call or visit rabwater.com to fix your water.
Sullivan hands off to Ollinger. No, it's a pitch back. It's a pitch back upfield. And there goes Brock up the far sideline. 50, 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown, Tigers, Quinton Brock.
This is Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw. It's time to talk Tiger football with head coach Bart Curtis.
Coach Curtis is on his way here. As you can imagine, they have a lot to do this morning to wrap up the season. I believe they're having a big breakfast over there. So while we're waiting for him to get here, he's on his way. We're going to kind of do the Tiger Sports Diary and tuck it in here. So because we have a very busy show today, we have Lenny Krebs is going to be in here in about 15 minutes to talk about the girls' season. Shander Hepler is going to be along in a little bit to talk about the volleyball season that wrapped up a couple weekends ago. So let's go to the girls' cross-country state finals. Warsaw finished 15th as a team out of 25 teams. Josefina Ristrelli, we call her Joey, finished 11th in her final race as a Lady Tiger. 18.02. The senior headed to IU next season. Her sister, Samantha, the sophomore, finished at 19.38. She was 132nd. 163rd was Ella LaPute, the junior for Warsaw, with a time of 19.59. Eden Metz, 170th, the sophomore with a time of 20.06. And Marissa Howitt, the senior in her last race, with a time of 20.11. Margot Sprankle, 231st, 21.11. Elizabeth Vanderbee, 238th, with a time of 21.35. The boys finished 11th and leading the way for Warsaw. Again, the sophomore Jackson Geckenheimer, 27th with a time of 15.41. Tyler Schwartz was 73rd. Senior ran at a time of 16.07. Clark Maridou was 97th. The junior ran at a time of 16.13. Also for the Tigers, Tyler Mimdaw, the junior, ran 156th with a time of 16.33. Rick Orr, 165th, the junior running at a time of 16.35. Andrew Potter in his final race as a cross-country runner, 177th, with a time of 16.41. Gabriel Klein was 180th, and the senior running in his last race ran at a time of 16.44. The Warsaw girls basketball team opened up their season on Wednesday with a win over Fort Wayne Northside. Final score in the varsity game was 68-28, the Lady Tigers scoring 50 of their 68 points in the first half when they shot 10 of 22 from three-point range on their way to those 50 points. The junior varsity also won big, 45-1 over Marion. Fort Wayne Northside had a lot of freshmen and sophomores playing in the varsity. They did not have a freshman team. They were able to field a JV team because of injuries and other reasons. So the Marion JV came up, and the Lady Tigers beat them 45-1. Lucy Andrew had 9 points on 4 of 8 shooting. She had an assist and 8 steals. Kaylee Goheen scored 6 points and grabbed 6 rebounds. Cassie Jackson, 3 out of 5 for the field with 6 points and 7 rebounds. And Amy Escutia Palacios was 3 of 9 for the field and had 7 points and grabbed 5 rebounds. The only Marion point came in the final 2 minutes on a free throw. Otherwise, Warsaw's JV would have pitched a shutout. So a very good start for them. The girls are back in action tonight as they take on Norwell. The JV begins at 6 o'clock. There is no freshman game tonight. Norwell had a couple of injuries this week, one to their freshman team, one to their JV team. So they were not able to do both a JV and a freshman team. So they're going to do a JV game, and there's no freshman game tonight. JV game in the Tiger Den begins at 6. Our coverage begins at 7:10 on News Now Warsaw. The Lady Tigers taking on a very good Norwell team, and Bart Curtis will be here in just a second. Lenny Krebs is coming in about 15 minutes or so, and he'll be talking about the girls' game on Wednesday and previewing a very difficult 6 days coming up here for the Lady Tigers, with Warsaw taking on Norwell tonight, the number 2 team in 3A. It's their season opener. And then going to Fort Wayne Snyder next Wednesday, and they're number 6 in 4A. So that is a very, very good schedule. Lenny Krebs has bumped up his schedule. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, Bart Curtis is here to talk about the football season. It ended last night with a 31-10 loss to Penn. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Roger.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, all things considering. This big long John donut certainly is going to help things up. But we're obviously wasn't what we planned on or planned for, the outcome. Here we are. And, 168 hours ago, I was sitting right here, same seat, with a big smile on my face, and you and I were having a great conversation about Warsaw football. So we're going to have another great conversation about Warsaw football, because the kids and the coaches are the same people. I'm about done with trips to St. Joe County, that I can tell you. Really proud of the effort. Haven't broken the film down yet. Right now, this morning, I heard you on the way in saying that we had things we had to do. I wanted to get the team together, and we watch the film offense and defense together and watch it more like a game versus, you know, we're not going to spend 3 hours teaching. We're going to show the tape. You know, I'll go back, and I assume they'll be, you know, about done with the first quarter. We'll watch all three angles twice, and that'll last probably till 10:30, and then the kids will get an opportunity to clean out their lockers, peel their numbers off their helmet if they want them for their cars or whatever, or their backpacks.
Yeah.
And then say our goodbye. The moms will come in and feed the kids, which is really nice. You know, they do a great job with our brunch. And then we'll head out and start back up Monday.
The beginning of the game. Last week,
yeah,
the beginning of the game couldn't have gone better. And last night, it couldn't have gone worse because three and out.
No.
And then you've got them third and long, and they run for 53 yards.
Yeah. Touchdown, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't win the toss, which was disappointing. So, you know, the tails never fails. Did not hold up last night. And that's smart. They've got a very strong defense, and they kicked off. And we had 8 yards on first down. So we're sitting at second and two, and we end up punting, which is very curious. I think we ran a fullback dive to the weak side on second down. Or maybe a double option. Either way, we ended up with fourth and two or fourth and three. So, yeah, going from second and two to fourth and two is not what we're about or what we want to be. So we ended up punting, and their quarterback did what their quarterback's done all year. You know, we had them third and eight, played tremendous defense, and all it takes is one snap. And we had the gaps fit. If we come a little flatter down the line of scrimmage, I think we make the play. We didn't. We got a little too deep in the backfield, and our backside backer got picked off, and he cut it back and hit the sideline and was gone. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. It wasn't the start we were hoping for, you know, 7-0. But even after that, I thought we put together somewhat of a successful drive. I knew it was going to be that kind of game. So, a 14-play drive that ended in a 47-yard field goal. And, you know, that kid he has no fear of anything. If I sent him out there for a 57-yarder, he wouldn't know the difference. And, you know, he drilled a 47-yarder to make it 7-3. And then we had an opportunity late in the half with great field position to either cut it to 7-6 or maybe even go ahead 10-7. And that didn't work out for us. So we were heading into halftime down 7-3. And I felt pretty good about things. We'd given up one bad play on defense and had a couple opportunities missed on offense. So, you know, we're sitting at 7-3. We come out. Our thought is, hey, let's, you know, we're going to kick to them. Let's stop them and get the thing back and start getting about the business of getting some yards and some points. And their quarterback made a great throw on third and eight again, third and eight, bugaboo down a distance. And McCullough ran a slant, got inside of Layton a little bit, and then we missed a tackle on the backside, and the kid was in the end zone. He's a good player.
Well, he's a tall player because that ball floated on McCullough a little bit, and your guys reacted like it was going to go over his head. They were thinking interception, and he goes up.
Yeah.
Amazing catch, just to catch it, and then to right himself and score. That was a heck of a play.
Yeah, he's a really good player. The quarterback's a good player. Running back's a good player. They've got a few weapons on offense. Defensively, they're as stout as I've seen. I talked to you earlier this week that they reminded me of some of those old-school Penn defenses where they roll 10 seniors out and then Coach Freeman's son at the outside linebacker. They were fast, played low, played with discipline, and they were extremely aggressive, and they don't miss tackles.
The turnover bugaboo came back up. You hadn't had a turnover except for the muffed punt by Vilma in the rain against Northridge. You'd gone four games without really having turnover problems, and then all of a sudden, as things started to deteriorate, the turnover started to build up.
Yeah, and we fell for it. You know, we fell for the – we took the cheese. And what I mean by that is we're down 14-3, and against a defense like that, it feels like it's 35-3. And then that whole deal with the punt happened, so it's 21-3. But even with that, they kind of lull you into making you play left-handed and getting you out of their out of what it is you want to be able to do, and which resulted in a couple interceptions. And then the first play of the third quarter, we had a missed assignment up front, and their four technique came screaming through and probably could have taken the handoff. I'm not sure Reed ever got it, but their kids are, you know, hard chargers into the mesh, and they got the ball back right away to start the third quarter.
So we need you to help confirm for us, because we think we know what happened on the punt that Penn kicked. Can you explain the rule for us?
I can. I've done a little research, although that's not been, you remember the PA, the field goal at Plymouth that was wide left a few years
yes.
ago that they called good? It's kind of like that.
Okay.
Here's what I mean by that, except that was a wrong call. That kind of distracts you from what really is taking place. You know what I mean? And it's easy for people to, you know, focus on that. Unfortunately, that's a rule that does not favor the team that's receiving the punt. So it was 100% correct application of the rule at that time. There was not a whistle. They punted the ball. It went straight up almost in the air, traveled past the line of scrimmage or the neutral zone, 3 yards, bounced perfectly flat, came back across to the kicking team's side of the neutral zone, which at that point becomes a live ball for either team to advance or even throw. So, you know, much to the chagrin of the adults in the stands and the adults on the sidelines and the kids on the sidelines, it was the right call. And we put our kids kind of in a quandary, because we went after a punt block, but then when we see where it's at, it's a Peter call.
Absolutely.
Stay away from it.
They did exactly what you teach them to do. 100%.
Get off the field and don't go near the ball, because only bad things can happen. Well, something bad happened after, in lieu of how we have coached that. So once the ball travels across the neutral zone, comes back to the kicking team side of the neutral zone, it is an absolutely live ball. Mm. And I didn't see the film, because the film shut off because of the thought of the play was over.
Oh, no.
But from what I'm hearing is their kid had the ball. He is walking toward the sidelines, upset, ready to hand the ball to the official. And their coaches are like, go, 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 because there hadn't been a whistle.
Yeah.
And that was unfortunate, but kind of fitting.
A great season for your kids. 9 wins, don't come here in Warsaw very often, and so we appreciate those. It was a great season. And this senior class, which had some trouble off the field last year,
they
got
did.
It right this year,
they
they were good leaders.
And, you know, I was talking to a couple parents last night, and, none of us is perfect. And, everyone in that locker room has a story to write for their football career, and you know, certain chapters are good, certain chapters aren't good, and the story didn't end for this group last year. We flipped the page and made something good out of something that wasn't so good, and I'm really proud of those kids. And I mentioned this to you earlier this week, the last and to them last night, the last month of this season, I felt like our kids were practicing as good as they'd practiced all year. We had some distractions that were some of the things that were causing us. The kids kind of just, the light bulb went on, and the things that we had hoped for throughout the first 6 or 7 weeks came to fruition. Attitude-wise, effort-wise, teamwork-wise, togetherness-wise, love for each other. I really feel like this is a group that enjoyed playing football together. And they don't always like each other, but they do. There's a common bond there of love by those kids. So I'm going to miss that.
Yeah. You want to run through your seniors real quick?
I can. What do we got here?
Just a couple.
I'll just
15 seconds on each one is fine.
Okay. Yeah, I did bring a roster, and I'll go numerically. Grady Nolan, made a switch from positions and accepted it and thrived in it as a split end. Number 5, number 8, Jeb Woodward, obviously had a stellar 3-year career as an inside linebacker. A lot of fun to coach, kind of an old school throwback type player. Corbin Johnson had played a lot as a junior, started as outside linebacker this year, going to be missed, had a great year. Reed Zollinger, obviously what he did, the pounding he took from the fullback position. I'm guessing he probably had 1,700 yards and a ton of touchdowns.
1,647, which is the third most in a season and fourth most carries by an individual in a season.
Great year for him, and that's a tough position to play. Eric Pohl, his football's not done. There's a place for him out there. That kid has come around big, strong, fast, played hurt. You know, he's always dinged up a little bit. Had a good, great year at outside linebacker. Leighton Isbell, I think when we moved him to corner only, he became a more confident player. Long, tall player and had a really good year. Caden Sleester, really a selfless kid, would play a lot on a lot of teams and was kind of stuck in a position at safety where there were a couple kids that, and he realized that were a little bit better, but when he had his moments, he made the most of them. Lucas Ransbottom made the switch from cornerback to halfback. Would not have imagined that he would be the impact that he was offensively. You know, we kind of had him as a 9-1-1 guy offensively, and when the cornerback position didn't work out, he didn't pout. He accepted the challenge and had a really good year. Number 39, Grayson Hall, another team guy, selfless player, played on our special teams. Played a little bit in the secondary, played a little bit at split end. Really, really nice kid, hardworking kid. Aiden Williamson, our snapper, in June, did not know where he fit in as an offensive lineman. And after the cards got kind of laid out there and this happened, he jumped in and took the center position and did not relinquish it. Chase Carl, I think, is one of the most violent, best offensive linemen that has played here at Warsaw since I've been here, at least. Really a renaissance man, as we've talked about, is really good at the drama stuff and plays and singing and smart kid, 4.0, 3.99 GPA, great kid. Braxton Daniels, number 58. Probably, if I had to say who's the most selfless, the best teammate on this team, we've got a lot of them, but you never heard him complain about anything and was always ready if 53 went down or he was needed.
Which he did, by the way.
Yeah.
Williamson got hurt and Braxton went in there.
He's always ready and always one of the first ones to practice, last ones to leave, first one out on the field, and just played. Every snap he got, he played his ever-loving tail off. Moving down through here. Harrison Stover, as we know, probably our best, most physical offensive lineman heading in, an all-state kid as a junior. And his season got cut short on the fourth snap of the season when he tore his ACL at Michigan City. Still came to every practice, still was a positive force for our kids. And his ball, he's got some good ball ahead of him yet. Not sure where that's going to be. But, you know, that was certainly a heartbreaking deal. Alex Trusty didn't know whether he would be O-line, D-line, settled on D-line when he was given his opportunities. Another Iron Man, never missed a practice, never missed anything. When he had the opportunity, went in and made the most of it. And I am looking here. And then our two of our three D-linemen, Nate Rosas, very emotional young man, had a great senior year. He's a young man where you got to make sure you keep him in check on the field because his emotions get the best of him sometimes. And you've seen it where we've had to take him out, calm him down a little bit, send him back in. But had a wonderful senior year. Then Isaac Beam, 95. What can you say? I think there's a place for this young man out there. A little undersized for Division I defensive line, but when he plays the way he's capable of playing, he's literally unblockable. Fast, good technique, quick, aggressive, super pass rusher. And there's some ball ahead of him, but he's certainly one of, if not the best D lineman that I've coached in a long, long time. So let me go through and make sure I got all 16, okay?
Coach Curtis is counting.
I am.
That's why we do this. We bring the roster.
I did. I got 16.
Good.
And if for some reason I miss somebody out there, I apologize. I owe you a free dinner at the boathouse.
All right. Thank you for all your help this season. That was fun. It wasn't always conventional.
No.
But it was a lot of fun to talk about.
And that's why I thought at any time, you know, this group last night was going to find a way, you know, because they have all year. And like we mentioned, we've won games 8-6, 10-3, 17-13, 22-15. Yeah. And I felt like last night, even at halftime, had the makings of one of those games where, you know, we could come out, continue to play great defense and kick a game, walk-off field goal and win 9-7.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it felt like that kind of game, but it didn't happen. I want to thank you, too, for not only this and your promotion of Warsaw Athletics and Tiger football, but I thought that your message yesterday to our young men in game day inspiration was outstanding, not only for the kids, but the managers and the coaches. I thank you for that.
Thank you. It was an honor to speak to the group. I have come on Thursdays and Fridays and listened to the speakers, and to be included in that group was a great honor, personal honor, and I really appreciate it. And I look forward to finishing up the stats and getting things tidied up for you and getting ready for next year.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Bart Curtis of the Warsaw Tigers, whose season came to an end last night at Penn in the sectional championship. When we come back, Lenny Krebs of girls basketball will set the scene for their season next here on Tiger Talk. Driven by RB Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
It's that time of year again. Football is back, and soon it's time to sign up for the open enrollment of Medicare Advantage, Medicare Part D drug plans, and individual health care plans through the Affordable Care Act. Contact JBC and Associates to update new plan designs and find out about increased subsidies to help reduce marketplace premiums. Call John at 574-527-1295. Call with any questions and be ready to sign up for the Medicare plans beginning October 15th and for individual health care plans on November 1st. Go Tigers!
I am a Colts fan.
I'm a Bears fan. And you out there are Warsaw Tiger fans.
Whoever you root for, in order to win the game, your team needs a head coach with an effective game plan. We at Aldifer Bergen can help you develop and implement a financial game plan for your family's future. So if you're a Colts fan, a Tiger fan, a Bears fan, or a fan of any other team,
except the Patriots, Aldifer Bergen can be the head coach of your financial planning team.
Aldifer Bergen & Company, 122 West Market Street in Warsaw, and online at aldiferbergen.com.
Hello, I'm Jay Rigdon with Rock Hill Pinnock. I had to chuckle the other day because I heard a lawyer on TV say you should come to their firm because they're the attorneys you know. But yet, you've never heard of them, except from the television commercials. The attorneys at Rock Hill Pinnock are part of this community. We may help coach your kids at t-ball, see you at a golf match, or simply be your friend or neighbor. If you don't know one of us yet, chances are someone you know does. But whether you know us already or not, we hope you'll give us a call and get to know us as your attorneys. Call 267-6116 for an appointment today. Rock Hill Pinnock, lawyers you can count on.
You see a foggy window. We see condensation between the panes plus higher energy bills. For a brighter day, a more comfortable home, and lower utility bills, have a Glass Doctor specialist install new extended life high-quality insulated panes. All for less than you might think. To see how quick and easy it is for us to replace insulated glass windows, visit glassdoctor.com today.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint.
Oh, yeah!
You're listening to Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. Let's talk girls basketball with head coach Lenny Cripps.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Never has a Warsaw girls basketball season started as early on the calendar as this one did. That's your fault. What's up with that?
Well, you know, I guess I get the blame for everything else. I'll take the blame for the calendar and the schedule, too. You know, we have a tough game tonight in Norwell. And looking back, one of the things we talked about after last season is it would be good to have a game before we played a team like Norwell just to get those first game jitters out. You know, you go back to that first game last year. I know we had a lot of new kids. We had a lot of freshmen, sophomores on the court. You could tell they were jittery. You could tell there was just a lot of nerves taking place. And, you know, that's not just a freshman and sophomore thing. That's a every year thing when you step on the court for the first time. So our whole plan was let's get a game under our belt that is competitive but not so competitive that those nerves are going to matter as much. So we can get that jitteriness out of the system before we play a team like Norwell to see where we're really at. You know, Norwell used to always have a game before us. We would go play Norwell. It was their second game. They used to play Oak Hill before they played us. Now I believe we're their first game, so we've kind of turned the tables on that a little bit.
Let's go back to Wednesday's opener against the Northside. They won seven games last year. None of the teams they beat were four-win teams. They've got a bunch of freshmen and sophomores that are going to play. Not they don't even have a JV because a lot of their freshmen and sophomores are playing on the varsity. And with about 3.5 minutes gone in the game, it's 4-1. And then your girls got, and I don't want to say they weren't taking them seriously, but they got serious. And they went on a run that was really something. And I know that that's that stretch of the game, back half of the first quarter and most of the second quarter, that's the kind of play you want to see from this team.
You know, at the beginning of the game, you saw the jitters that I talked about that we wanted to get out of the system. I think we come out and had three or four straight possessions where we didn't even get a shot because we turned the ball over. Just there were a lot of nerves and that almost a panic-like feeling. And, you know, I think that just comes from the fact that the bench was hyped up. The girls were hyped up. There was a lot of emotion. The adrenaline was pumping. And this is a group that they always manage to right the ship. They find that path and then it's go time. What you said, they got serious. They get serious. This is a group that just loves to compete and win. You know, all I have to do is tell them, hey, the boys' practice squad is coming in today, and you see a competitive switch just flip in their mind going, we're going to go compete with these guys and prove that we can play. And that's what I love about this group. They're just so competitive, and they're fun to watch.
Can you help us understand, because toward the end of last season, you started to kind of turn these girls loose in the full court and the half court, pressing and trapping and trying to speed the other team up and force turnovers and move the ball up the court quickly and get layups without having to run your offense. What I thought we saw a little bit in the first half was them going too fast, trying too hard to push the tempo and force things that weren't there. How do you get to that point where you're running it right at the right speed?
I think that just comes with experience. That comes with games. You go back to Norwell at the very beginning last year. We weren't playing that pace yet. We were more fast, but not so fast that by the end of the year, that fast had gotten faster. We all know it. When you start driving a car, you can drive what you think is fast. As you get more experience driving a car, you can drive faster. Before you know it, you and I, what used to be 60, we can now drive 80, 85 down the interstate before we even think about what we're doing because we're used to it. That just comes with experience. These kids are learning how to play fast. I told you before the game we talked, it's easy to play slow and under control. That's easy. It's easy to play fast and out of control. We want to find that middle ground to be able to play fast and under control. Our pace is, we want to get to 60. 60 points is our goal. We want to play a pace that makes you uncomfortable. You've been in our practices. Everything we do is all about that pace. Teams don't practice that pace. And to me, that makes it very uncomfortable for them. I'll give you a stretch during the Valpo game that just proves my point. In the Valpo scrimmage, Valpo went 5 straight possessions and scored 11 points. Those same 5 possessions, we scored 15.
Yeah.
When you're an opposing team and you think, I just had 5 great possessions, I put 11 points on the board, but I still got outscored, that's demoralizing. And that's what that's what I love about this group. They're going to take the ball out of the net, push a ball up the floor, and get a shot before you realize what even hit you. They're learning how to play fast better. We do. We've turned them loose. Our favorite saying is FIO, figure it out.
Yeah.
We're not going to overcoach this game. You guys are great players. You've worked hard. Figure it out.
We have to go back to the offseason for how the story of this team began to unfold, because Abby Peterson came to you and told you that she was not going to play basketball this season, and she is not playing basketball this season. What does her absence mean to this team, and how do you begin to fill in that role, especially with the absence of Delaney Villema, who is injured?
You know, Abby, she was that ultimate team player all season last season. We harped on how much of a team player she was. If anything, we probably tried to convince her a little bit more to shoot. We need you to shoot. We need you to shoot. You know, when we put Bricker at the point and moved her to an off guard, the purpose of that was to try to get her more shots, because she's one of the best shooters that we had in the program, and we've got a lot of good shooters. But you look percentage-wise, she was shooting as high as anyone. You know, it's not ideal. When she come and said, I want to focus on golf, part of me wanted to say, well, when are you going to go to the golf course? I would love to golf with you. I haven't golfed since I've been at Warsaw, you know. But her absence is more the team glue that she brought, that team player, that glue girl, whatever you want to call her. That was what we had to find. We had to find that glue, because we have a group of kids who probably in their mind think they could beat you 1-on-5. I love that about them, but they probably in their mind would think, you and 5 others, I'll take you down. And I love that, but what we have to have is that glue holding that together between those 4 or 5 people. And that's what Abby Peterson brought. You know, same thing with Delaney. Delaney brought that energy. She got injured in the preseason. She's currently in rehab. Hopefully by Thanksgiving, 1st of December, we start to see her on the court again. What that did was it hurt our depth and pushed us down to some younger kids who, quite honestly, in any other program, would probably be starting there. You know, they'd be starting for a lot of other schools. For us, they were just sitting there in that reserves waiting for us to tap into it. And those kids have done a great job. You know, people like Kyra Kaiser, Kelsey Wren, Aaron McManus, you know, Braylee Chastain, all those people are stepping up. And we had a great summer.
When I think of Lady Tiger basketball, I think of Peterson and Brooke Winchester together. They're in the same class. It feels like they've been playing together since they were about 6 or 7 years old. I know that's probably not true, but those two are like peas and carrots. They just go together. And I've seen an incredible intentional effort by Brooke to take that role of being the mother hen of this team, to gather the girls together, to teach and organize. I've seen her really do a good job of that. I'm pretty proud of her of that.
You know, I'm proud of Brooke and the leadership that she brings. And it's not always just on the court. You watch her when she's sitting on the bench and one of her teammates makes a great play. She's the first one up off that bench cheering, letting them know that she's supporting them. I love that about Brooke. I mean, we've got that culture that's being built because of that and kids that have come before her and showed her the right way. I'm proud of Brooke. Just a fun group to be around for the most part.
You got a deep team this year. You could play 9 and 10 pretty comfortably in most games. It's a challenge to try to keep everybody lubed up, is the word, to keep the engine running smoothly, because you've got a lot of girls that could play a lot of good minutes for you this year.
No, and that's That's what we've been building towards, you know, since I've been here. You and I have had a lot of conversations over the last 7 years about our depth. I'm going into our depth at times is not my comfort zone. Somebody has to push me outside that comfort zone, and Coach Spiker is doing a great job of pushing me outside that comfort zone at times to play and develop that depth that we have. You know, you go back to some of our games, we'll have 6, 7, 8, 9 people that can hit from a three-point range. That's tough to guard. And, you know, the chances of all of those kids having an off night, that's slim to none. It's very comforting to know you've always got a shooter in your back pocket.
You hit 195 three-pointers as a team last season. You already have 13 this year. Four different girls hit three-pointers. It's a really interesting concept that you want to press and trap and run and push and shoot three-pointers to complement that. Those two things don't normally go together.
You know, we'll gladly take a layup if we can get a layup in that full-court press and trap. But you also have to remember part of that full-court press isn't necessarily to create turnovers. It's to make you play a pace that you're uncomfortable playing. And that pace just creates opportunities that when we're transitioning from defense to offense, you're now sprinting back, you're gassed, you're fatigued. We have great shooters. We might as well take advantage of a 3 for a 2. And because you're gassed and tired, we also feel that's our best offensive rebounding opportunity off a quick shot. We're not extremely big. I mean, if you've seen our team, we've got a bunch of kids. They're smaller. We've got some kids that elevate well. But we feel that's a rebound advantage on both sides of the court if we can push a basketball and not let your size become an advantage.
You did bulk up the schedule. There are two things missing from the schedule that are almost as automatic as death and taxes, and that's the game against Tippecanoe Valley and the Lady Tiger Tournament. And while I'm as traditional as they come, I totally get it. There's a lot of reasons this year not to play Tippecanoe Valley, and you added Fort Wayne Snyder. That's a huge bump up in your schedule. And with no Lady Tiger Tournament this year, you're going to down to Center Grove to play in a tournament that's going to have the host school, Brownsburg, and Jeffersonville in it. That's going to be quite a day of basketball on the 29th of December.
You know, you go back. We've started to beef up our schedule. You know, we started to drop some of those teams that we felt weren't making us better. And you look at our schedule, I think we have maybe 3A teams on our schedule. It might be 4. All but one, I believe, are conference opponents. And then we have Norwell, who's the only 3A team that's a non-conference opponent. We want to play those tough teams. You know me. I will gladly take a loss against a team better than us if we can learn from it and grow and move on. I want to play the Fort Wayne Snyders. I want to play the Homesteads. I want to play the Brownsburgs and the Jeffersonvilles and the Center Groves. I want to see where we're at, because this group has a very ambitious set of goals of where they want to get to in the next 2 years. And it's my job to help them accomplish that by putting them in a position with our scheduling that they can do that.
I'm looking forward to tonight. That's going to be a heck of a game with Norwell.
You know, Norwell's a team that, once again, our first game, we went back and watched that game this past week. And I have to tell you, we look like a bunch of babies. I thought maybe my sixth grade team was out on the court, you know. But when you see the kids now and all the work they've done, not just skill-wise, but in the weight room and the quickness and how they've bulked up and how, and you look back to last year, they just look so babyish. And we're excited for this challenge. And Norwell, like I said, they have everybody coming back off a team that I think won 21 games last year. What a great opportunity early in the season for us to see where we're at and what we have to do to get better.
No freshman game tonight because Norwell doesn't have a freshman team. JV game in the Tiger Den begins at 6. Our coverage begins on News Now Warsaw at 7:10. We will see you there, sir.
Yep, thank you.
Lenny Krebs of the Lady Tigers as they are 1-0 against heading into their game tonight against Norwell. When we come back, Chandra Hepler of the volleyball team will be here. You're looking at your clock. You're going, it's 9:45. You can do another interview? Yes, I am. And we're going past 10 o'clock. It's the last fall edition of Tiger Talk. So don't worry about it. You're going to hear the entire thing, and we'll hear from Shandy next on News Now Warsaw.
Collier's Heating and Air has long been known for quality and integrity. Quality in their line of Lennox heating and air systems, and integrity in the way they've been doing business in our community for the last 36 years. So when they say they have a Lennox heating and air system for your home with $1,500 rebates, along with up to $2,000 off the dealer list price, you can take them at their word. Lennox quality and Collier's integrity. Trust Collier's.com.
You suffer from headaches, neck pain, or fatigue by the end of the day? The reason could be your eyes. This is Dr. Jason Rich from the Spectacle Shop. Digital devices have created an incredible amount of demand on our eyes, which can lead to eye strain and other symptoms. We've incorporated the newest technology in diagnosing and treating these problems with the NeuroLens system. With this technology, we can not only make you see better, but feel better. Visit NeuroLens.com, that's NeuroLens.com for more information, or visit thespectacleshopinc.com.
Michiana, you're approved. Need a new ride when everyone says no way? You're approved. This is Wade with Nissan of Warsaw. Low credit score? I don't care. You're approved. I have the power to say yes to everyone. And with my you're approved process, $500 down, bam, you're approved. What do you need? Current pay stub, photo ID, and proof of where you live, along with four friends that'll tell us how amazing you are. And bam, you're approved. To start the process, call us at 574-267-5850. NissanofWarsaw.com, TradeWithWade.com. You're approved.
Beautiful new furniture is a great way to change the look of your home for the holidays. Hi, this is Steven, inviting you to the pre-holiday sale at Reinhold's Town Square Furniture in Warsaw. Save on everything in the store as you shop from our largest inventory ever and sign up to win the daily drawing of a $500 Reinhold's gift card. Hurry into 118 West Main Street in Warsaw today for the limited time pre-holiday sale. Reinhold's Town Square Furniture, your friends in the furniture business.
You're listening to Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM.
Tiger Talk on News Now Warsaw with Chandra Hepler of the volleyball team. Not the ending you wanted, but when you consider where you started, it was a pretty good season.
Absolutely. You know, at the beginning of this year, I have to wonder, is this going to be a rebuilding year for us? You know, what's it going to look like with our personnel? You just never know who's going to step up and fill those big roles that you're missing from your seniors. And, you know, when I look back at this season, the adversity that these girls overcame, you know, halfway through the season, we lost our setter, and that was a pretty big loss for us. It was like losing our quarterback. And so we had girls that were inexperienced going into sectionals. You know, we had eight that had never played in the sectionals before. And when I reflect back and look, you know, maybe we lost the last match, but the entire season to be back-to-back NLC champs, back-to-back sectional champs, to get a run at regionals again, I couldn't be more proud of the girls.
And the setting position was already the focus after you lose the all-everything Avery Hales that went to Indiana State and did and set all the records that she set. That was already going to be a challenging thing anyway.
Yeah, and you know, I was very intentional throughout the year, too, is to try to not compare our setters to Avery Hales, because I know they already felt the pressure of that void of her being gone. But when you lose a player like Avery Hales, you're not just losing her physical ability, you're losing that leadership, and she really was our leader for 4 years on the court. So that really was more of a void that I was concerned about, was the leadership, because not everybody can lead, especially like an Avery Hales. And I think a lot of our players stepped up, you know, different points of the season and helped to fill that void. And I think our setters, you know, when you're not comparing to a D1 setter, I mean, I think our setters did a great job this year in stepping up and handling that pressure.
And we all thought you were crazy because we looked at your schedule at the beginning of the year, knowing that you were going to have so many kids to replace and Avery to replace and new setters. And we all went, you're going to play who at the beginning of the season? 2-5 at the start, were you at all nervous that you guys wouldn't turn it around?
No, actually. You know, if you want to be the best, you have to play the best. And for us, I mean, since I've been here, this is my fourth season, and every year I've tried to make our schedule as tough as we can. And I also think it's a really good temperature check early on in the season for our girls to see how we fare up against the state champion for 4A and to see playing the McCutcheons of the world, you know, seeing how do we compare and how much further do we have to go, because at the end of the season, that is our stopper. I mean, those would be the girls that, you know, we would see after regional and semi-state. And so to be able to see, you know, it's a little bit of a gut check, a little bit of a reality check, and who's on board and who's going to trust the process. And really, I never got nervous.
No, and your girls, it showed, because your girls came out of that and had a stretch in the middle of the season where they were almost unbeatable.
Yeah, and I think that really shows just how much you get sharpened when you play that tougher competition and how fast their style of play is. I mean, those girls, you know, you look at an HSC that we played first match of the year. I mean, their outside's going to Florida. They've got a middle that's going to Duke. Their libero's going to Ball State. I mean, they have several Division I players. So they are bigger, faster, stronger, and they are more experienced because they are their four-year starters. But our girls fared really well against them. We were very competitive. I mean, Jason Young from HSC really thought that we would end up in the Final Four and be playing them, and so did I, you know. So, which I thought was just a testament to our girls and just how they did trust the process and just how far we were in our journey at that point in time.
Another unbeaten conference season. I know you're so proud of that, and you should be.
Absolutely. You know, for these seniors, you know, this was my first four-year group of seniors to go through, and I think that's really special is that they've only lost one NLC match in their entire 4 years, and it was to Northwood a couple years ago. And, you know, I remember when I played here under Penny Salm, and we never in 4 years lost an NLC title, and so that was just a standard to me. That was, you know, I never thought of the Elkhart Memorials of the world, you know, that would come in and even threaten that title. And, you know, we've got a strong conference. I mean, with Northwood, I love that it always comes down to us. You know, it's just that battle of the big cats out there on the court. You know, next year they'll come into the Tiger Den. And but we are prepared. I mean, I think that preseason battle of all these top teams, you know, we have the confidence going in those tight situations. And you look at our strength of schedule, it is top five in the state. And I'm very proud of that because our girls not only can hang, but they are challenged and they learn lessons. And they apply that in the season so we can be back-to-back NLC champs.
Talk about your roster and some of the girls and give us kind of the thumbnail sketch of them.
You know, we have a lot of sophomores. So, you know, from the setting position, we had Avery Heppner, who Avery had to step in this year, you know, and Phil, she was a setter. We started off running a 6-2, and Avery was one of those setters that we used, and then she became a DS for us. And then in the middle of the season, we started to run a 5-1 with her. And so super proud of the way that she accepted that role and came in and kind of carried the weight of the world on her shoulders there, you know, and at times I think she was unfazed by it, you know, and I felt like she really grew this season, just volleyball IQ wise and leadership. You know, that's a role that obviously you need someone who's vocal and can be a leader. And I think she stepped into that role well. We had Jocelyn Bricker and Cece Good, who are both sophomores, who played a pivotal role for us. They got some JV time to get some game reps and then were able to step in. Cece came in during the LaPorte match during our home tournament when Melina Hoblitzel had sprained her ankle, and we beat LaPorte then. And our tournament with CC on the outside and did a phenomenal job there, I think, which really, you know, forecasts what next year can look like for her. So I'm excited for her and Jocelyn Bricker. You know, Jocelyn is one of those girls. She's just such a competitor that no matter where I put her, that kid's going to thrive. You know, she got some back row time for Maggie this year, which was a great introduction on the volleyball court for her. I love that she's a multi-sport athlete, you know, and that maybe one role she shines and she's one of the best players. And then maybe on another team, she's not the star. And so she has to play that supporting role. And I think that's really good for an elite athlete to experience. So I love that she's a multi-sport athlete for several reasons, but those being the top. So, and then we have Ellie Hepler at the libero position. So this was her second year filling that spot for us. And she's just really our defensive guru and serve-receive queen. She's also a leader. You know, I'm going to expect a lot more out of her this next year, vocally stepping into that leadership role. She's always led by example, and I think she's earned that right to be more of a floor captain and dictate and delegate out there on the court. And
I want to stop you and ask. No, I want to ask you about that position, because when you played, the setter was the leader, and that's just the way it was. But now we have liberos and defensive specialists, where there's more opportunity for leadership. How do those two positions work together?
Well, I think for the setter, our setter always leads the offense. So they're the person that's calling plays on free balls. And, you know, they're obviously, they're the ones that predict where the ball's going to go. But when you've got a defensive specialist or your libero, they are the captain of the defense. So for them, you know, in serve receive, they're the ones that are mixing our serve receive patterns around. So if we get aced twice, we're mixing it around so it looks different for the servers. They're telling people defensively where they need to be, or they're talking to our blockers to let them know there's a hole in the block. And so they really are that floor captain of the defense, whereas the setter does the same thing just for the offense. So they also have to work together, both to be leaders, on the court, because it's nice to have a coach's kid too on the court that has that, volleyball IQ that they've grown up with, but also someone that can go over and talk to the captain for me. I mean, to the official for me, without taking it personal and knowing that I love you unconditionally and I need you to go tell that official this. You know, my mom's not going to be happy if you don't make the right call.
Yeah.
So poor Ellie, being a coach's kid is tough, and I think she's done a great job with that role. So and then we go on to, our junior class, and we've got Krista Locke, who Krista stepped into a big role for us this year. We had moved Melena Hoblitzel to the outside. She was a right side for us last year. And so Krista got to play on that right side. She set a little bit for us. And I think really just embraced that role. She knew that Avery Hills was going to be gone. And Krista has that personality that she can lead and she can be direct and hold people accountable. And that is what our leaders last year did as well. So she did a great job coming in and accepting her role and executing over there on the right side. And then we have Maggie Holland. Maggie is C-ball, hit ball. She's just our go-to kid. I love it. The more she thinks, it's like I just have to let her go. You just wind her up and let her go. She's the one that puts the ball away. She became a six rotation player for us this year. So last year, she didn't play back row at all. So this year, I thought that was huge for her to be able to step into that role. And as you saw, she could hit out of the back row, which got us points, a lot of times. And she's a fun kid. I just always say everybody needs a little Maggie in their life. She's got a great sense of humor and likes to keep things light around practice. And you can always count on her for a laugh or a smile and if Maggie's out on the court and maybe she's made a couple errors, I always tell my assistants, hey, stick your tongue out at her, make a funny face, because she relaxes then and just plays Maggie style. So, which is great for her as well. And so I think the junior class in itself, Allison Chapman is in the middle, and Allison, she hadn't gotten really much court time last year, so really stepping into that role. We had Ava Egoff that transferred, and so Allison stepped in, and she did her best in that role. And I think she felt some pressure, at times that middle role, especially when, Leah Henderson is the other middle. And, sometimes that's a big spot to fill in. And I think next year you'll see Chapman take more of ownership in that middle. This year she got to be the second middle and just kind of see, how things are done and what the expectation is. And I think next year, I think she'll have a great club season and come back just ready to fill that role. So then we have Layla Knepp. Layla came back from an injury. She had surgery over the summertime, actually, and so we really didn't know what to expect health-wise from her. She came back and did a great job. She had more of a player role this year, I would say, but always with a smile on her face. She bettered the girls in practice, always positive, and worked her hardest and got some court time for us. And I know maybe next year she's looking forward to getting out on the court as well. So, and then we also had Eva Everest, and Eva for us didn't get any, she wasn't on varsity last year, didn't get any court time, and then she stepped into a serving specialist role for us and really did a good job. She was a practice player at the beginning of the year, and really as far as expectations, we didn't know what to expect as far as that role developing. And I think she did a great job accepting that. And she also ran the other side of the court in practice for us. So she was a setter on that side and did a really good job of running the offense in practice so that we could prepare and meet our goals. So then you've got our seniors. So Leah Henderson, who's just a defensive guru up at the net for us. You know, without her block, we'd really be struggling. She's very quick, and the lateral movement, you know, that she's able to read the setter's hands and to see where the ball is going and to provide a big block so that our defense can defend behind that. She will create a big hole, literally speaking, for us next year. And just the leadership that she has provided as well. You know, she's been a 3-year starter for us. She went from the freshman team right to varsity. So she's just been an experienced player for us, so that'll be a big hole as well. And then you've got Claire Reichenbach. So Claire has played the last 2 years for us on varsity. Last year she was a serving specialist, and then this year she moved into right back. It did a really good job for us, not only just leading, but really just being a culture kid for us. She protects our culture well, and that's very important.
She's another one I want to ask about, because this is a kid who comes in, basically, she's like a pinch hitter as a server.
Yeah.
We know how hard pinch hitting is, baseball is. How hard is it to be that player on a volleyball team, because you have no other rhythm other than you go out there, you get the ball, you serve it?
Well, and for her, it is really hard, because you do feel the weight of the world when you go in. I mean, there are times where, I mean, it may be match point, like we're close to the end and she's going in to serve, or more behind and she knows we need that serve. And, you know, in a lot of the teams that we play, you can't just serve a lollipop. It's got to be aggressive, get them out of system so they can't run their middles and they become predictable. So she really has a huge role to come in. And I think last year for her, she was really happy to be in that role. And I think this year for her, she really wanted to branch out of that to have some more responsibility in the back row. And so just did a phenomenal job the last couple of years for us. But really, I mean, just culture-wise, she is that perfect kid that you want on your team, that's very positive and will protect what we have built. So very proud of her. And then the big one, you know, our D1 commit is Milena Hoblitzel, who's going to Western Illinois this year. That'll be leaving us, which literally she's been a 4-year starter, and that's going to be a huge hole for us to fill. I feel like we say this every year, you know, with our seniors. I mean, they really do, the legacy and the tradition they've left here at Warsaw, and Mel is no different. You know, she's been a starter for us for 4 years. And I mean, I've coached her. I've seen her play. She's been with my daughter Ellie since they were in elementary. So I've seen her, you know, I've watched her journey. I've coached her for a while, and her sister McKenna. So she's really special in that sense, you know, to see her go to the next chapter of her life. And her dad, Gary's been a coach of ours, you know, for as long as I've been here now. And so last year, she was on the right side, moved her to the outside this year. And she's just that kid that always has a smile on her face. You know, she's such a great servant leader. I mean, she's the first to show up, the last to leave. And I don't know if that's because Gary and I are talkers, so maybe. but always the first to set the nets up, always the one to let the underclassmen go first when we eat or when we do anything. I mean, she just really is a great leader in that aspect, but just her physical presence out there. You know, she's 5'10", and she puts the ball away. She's a go-to. She does it all. I mean, as far as setting, serving, I think she was second in aces on the team, second in kills, and she was out for a little while due to an injury this year. So she just, you know, she makes a mistake and still has a smile on her face, to the point where you're like, should I be mad at you because you're still smiling? Or are you thinking next ball mentality, you know? And for Mel, she has that go-to and that kid that just is very consistent. That's just been a huge staple in our program the last 4 years.
People said to me before the regional, I said, what's the state of Warsaw volleyball? And I said, well, it's this. You know, you're playing Warsaw, you automatically know you're in trouble. And that's where you've got the program right now.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I really, you know, over the last 4 years, I remember when I came in and Steve Shondell said to me, you know, what are your goals? And I said, oh, I want to win state. And he said, Chandra, you know, it's going to take at least 3 to 4 years to build that program. I said, yeah, I know. But it really is true, you know. And I think the important thing and what I'm most proud about with Warsaw Volleyball is our culture. I think just getting the right kids on the bus has been so important. And sometimes I've sacrificed that most athletic over the culture. And I'm glad that Warsaw Volleyball, it's showing on the court as well, that culture is so important and it is so high and worth protecting. And so I love that. You know, I mean, we've beaten Penn the last 4 times, and Penn used to always be our stopper. And now I feel like, you know, Warsaw, we have that target on our back. You know, whereas last year, it was just fun because we kind of flew under the radar a little bit, you know, and I think this year there was a little bit of expectation, a little bit of more pressure, you know, the girls, I think we got a little nervous there at the end against LaPorte and regionals because the expectation was there. You know, we wanted to hang a banner and be a Final Four team, and you know what, we fell short this year, and because we lost that last match doesn't mean that we're a failure. And when I reflect back on our season, just how magical and how special it really was, that just makes me really proud.
Yeah, the special part is the people. Thank you so much for all your help this year.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. I appreciate the coverage and the support from all of our fans and administration and parents. We just have a great group here at Warsaw, and I love our community.
When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Here we go. You know why to go to R&B Car Company, right? 90 days till your first payment, $3,500 minimum for your trade. And with locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and now Fort Wayne, you need to find out why we are where you ought to be. Because financing available with any kind of credit, we've got banks that cater to everyone, no matter the need, from compacts to big honking diesels, fast and friendly service, and the best deal bottom line. So shop now and get pre-approved at rbcarcompany.com.
Car Tech, Smart Auto Body Solutions, knows how picky you can be about your vehicle's finish. It's in perfect condition now and you want it to stay that way. We get it. What you need is the Car Tech paint protection film applied to your vehicle to protect it from surface scratches, UV exposure, hard water deposits, acid rain, oxidation. You don't want that stuff damaging your car's finish. Tell Car Tech to protect my paint. On the curve at 900 South Buffalo in Warsaw and at cartechsmart.com.
I'm your neighbor. You see me at Optimist, you see me at church, you see me at the grocery store. I'm just a regular guy with a law degree who has the know-how to get you the win. I'm Travis McConnell, your personal injury lawyer. With millions of dollars won for clients, call me. I'll give you my personal cell and we can start working together. The initial call's always free. I handle all types of injuries, falls, crashes, defective products, and more. Call me today, Travis McConnell, your personal injury lawyer. Just say, hey Google, look up the law office of Travis McConnell. Office Warsaw.
And now for final thoughts on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company. Here's Roger.
We're going to take next Saturday off. This wraps up the fall sports season. We're going to take next Saturday off, and then we will come back on the 18th, 2 weeks from today. We're going to talk with Lenny Krebs, get a preview of the tournament, the day up at Merrillville in the Dunlin Athletic Conference NLC shootout. Warsaw will play Crown Point at about 12:30, and then play again about 5:30 against the host school, Merrillville. So we'll get a preview from Lenny on that, and we'll talk cross country. We'll have Matt Campbell in and talk about the boys, and Coach Fleming talk about the girls and wrap up their seasons. And so we will do that while we're traveling up. Well, you can hear from them on the 18th. So thanks to all the coaches this fall. Thanks to Coach Curtis for coming in every Saturday for his cooperation. I love working with that man, and I see why. Everywhere he's gone, he's left a trail of goodness, and I appreciate working with him and all he does for me and the cooperation I get from him and how we work together. I love it. So, and thanks to all the other fall coaches for turning in their results. Everything that you hear, you get from the coaches. So we appreciate all their cooperation. Our sponsors, R&B Car Company and the Warsaw Donut Shop for supplying donuts for the kids all season long, and you for spending your Saturday here with us. Again, we take next week off. We'll be back the 18th. We'll have shows every Saturday except the 23rd and the 30th of December. We'll take those Saturdays off for the holidays and then finish it out with January and February. And we'll go as long as Matt Moore and the basketball team go in March. And just so that you know, so we're clear on this, Coach Moore gets an extra week off because they don't play Thanksgiving Wednesday anymore. They start their season on that Saturday. We will have Matt in for the first time on the 25th to preview the season, which begins at Columbia City that night. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Gary Sullivan is next.
You've been listening to Tiger Talk on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. For more on Tiger Sports, log on to newsnowwarsaw.com and warsaw-tigers.com. Follow Roger Grossman on Twitter at RogerGrossman1. Tiger Talk is a presentation of News Now Warsaw, a member of Kensington Digital Media of Indiana.